What we're also going to be doing today is we're going to wrap up looking at the parable of the sower, having looked at it now over a three-week period. And today we're going to be looking at each of the types of the ground that are mentioned there in relation to the ground of our own minds into which the Lord continually seeks to sow His Word. We're going to explore a little the idea that the Lord not only sows into our mind by means of the Word from an external way, but that He continually sows into our minds by means of an inward way, and that is by the means of His influx into our minds from the very deepest recesses of our being. We acknowledge this influx of the Lord in participating in the Holy Supper. The emblems there, the bread and the wine, being correspondences of His love and His goodness, which we receive moment by moment. Of course, His wine being the truth that we receive from the Lord, and the bread being His love. Now, we will read in the parable that the seed fell onto various types of ground. And the word for falling is the word pipto, and it means to descend from a higher place to a lower place. So it describes the descent of the Lord's life from higher levels into the lower levels of our mind. It does, of course, speak of the Lord's own descent into the world when He took on a material body and lived a life among men. So we can see that in this sense, the Lord's own life is this parable. But it also speaks of the giving of His written word, which is the divine life made visible in a form that we can grasp and hold with our natural faculties. And this also is a wonderful illustration of parable. But His descent also describes His making available continuously His love and His wisdom to all people from within. And we will touch on the importance today of this inward aspect being connected with the outward aspect of sowing in the growth of what is planted, so that it might become a harvest of love and charity in our lives. Let us pray. So, as mentioned this morning, we will complete our look at the parable of the sower. And what we'll be looking at in more detail are the specific types of ground and how they reflect general inner states of mind that are either open or closed to receiving the Lord's word. Now, there are four states mentioned upon which the word that is sown falls. These are the wayside, rocky places, amongst thorns, and good ground. But firstly, we need to understand what these, in order to understand what these types of ground are in us, we need to look at perhaps what was involved in terms of the geography of the field in Palestine at this time that the Lord delivered this parable. And this is from William Barclay. In Palestine, the fields were in long, narrow strips, and the ground between the strips was always a right of way. It was used as a common path, and therefore it was beaten as hard as a pavement by the feet of countless passers-by. That is what Jesus means by the wayside. If seed fell there, and some was bound to fall there in whatever way it was sown, there was no more chance of it penetrating into the earth than if it had fallen upon a road. The stony ground was not ground filled with stones. It was what was common in Palestine, a thin skin of earth on top of an underlying shelf of limestone rock. The earth might be only a few inches deep before the rock was reached. On such ground, the seed would certainly germinate, and it would germinate quickly because the ground grew steadily warm with the heat of the sun. But there was no depth of earth, and when it set down its roots in search of nourishment and moisture, it would meet only the rock and would be starved to death and quite unable to withstand the heat of the sun. The thorny ground was deceptive. When a sower was sowing, the ground would look clean enough. It is easy to make a garden look clean by simply turning it over, but in the ground still lay the fibrous roots of the couch grass and the bishop weed and all the perennial pests ready to spring to life again. Every gardener knows that the weeds grow with a speed and a strength that few good seeds can equal. The result was that the good seed and the dormant weeds grew together, but the weeds were so strong that they throttled the life out of the seed. The good ground was deep and clean and soft. The seed could gain entry, it could find nourishment, it could grow unchecked, and in the good ground it brought forth an abundant harvest. It could be sown by the sower, scattering it to the left and to the right as he walked up and down the field. Of course, if the wind was blowing, in that case some of the seed would be caught by the wind and blown into all kinds of places, and sometimes out of the field altogether. The main point here is that the span of the sower's activity, and that it covered all types of ground mentioned in the parable. When we apply this to the mind, we need to realize that the types of ground are not different individual minds so much as levels within a single mind, or within our own minds. I mentioned last week that the teaching here is a revelation concerning ourselves and our own states. They can refer to our general state of reception and our progression in heavenly things, or states we move between, for there are times when we each are a wayside, a rocky place, there are times when we are thornish, and there are times when we are good ground in terms of our responses to what the Word is teaching. The thing with this act of sowing, however, is that a broad coverage is achieved. This ensures that while some of that which is sown will be lost, the good soil will receive the maximum distribution of seed across the widest possible area. So think of your own mind as encompassing all these elements or soil qualities. Now let us have a look at each of these states of mind. The seed described as falling by the wayside is what is mentioned first. And it says this: as it happened, as he sowed, some fell along the way, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And the interpretation the Lord gives is as follows: these are the ones beside the way where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This describes a state of no reception at all. It is a state of the human mind where the word is rendered ineffectual almost as soon as it is heard due to the hardness of the prospective recipient's heart. The word is left just on the surface, merely a thing of the memory to be snatched away by the birds of the air. These Jesus describes as illustrative of the activity of Satan within a non-receptive person's heart. In the case of the birds, we read that they devoured it. It's interesting to note that the Greek word for devoured literally means to down eat. This describes the response of this state of mind to the word, for it is a state that reduces all things to the lowest levels of the understanding. The word here, rather than being exalted in the mind and heart, is seen as something common or of little value. A disregard for spiritual things means that a person remains merely natural, making the word nothing but food for sustaining a person's life in the lowest levels of natural life. Now, the heavenly doctrines teach that the Lord sustains and maintains the life of every person. The Lord flows into all people, but the quality of the life a person expresses is in accordance with their understanding of the word. Only obedience to the word can lift a person's state of life from something natural into something truly spiritual. We have this inflowing life from the Lord described in wonderful detail in the written word that we have and in the heavenly doctrines. However, the word existed before humankind discovered the art of writing. What we have in the written word are the seeds into which the inflowing divine life can find its expression and make itself known within a person's consciousness. But we will only discover him within when we do what we understand the word to be teaching us from without. The written word is divine, for it comes into being from him. Yet we must remember that the inflowing life from the word, from the Lord, that every person receives by the inward way is equally the word of life, or the Logos. It is true that the Lord sows into us through our hearing and reading his word by an external way or through our senses, as we spoke about last week. But he is also continuously sowing his word into us via an inward way as well, through his inflowing life. The external sowing consists of teaching regarding how we should live our lives, how we should love. When this is acted on, so the internal activity of sowing can find good ground, enabling the Lord to empower us to live a fruitful and useful life. Prior to seeking life in accordance with what the word teaches, we lived in a state of being beside the wayside. A state where the life that flowed into us from the Lord, due to the hardness of our hearts, couldn't penetrate. That life was turned to suit our own selfish ends. And from this selfishness, which the heavenly doctrines describe as evil or the love of self, arises all sorts of false ideas about ourselves, about others, about spiritual life, and about the Lord. These ideas live in our heads, and they are here described as the birds of the air, that reduce or down-eat what we should be using to build a spiritual life. They're down-eaten in order to sustain life on a merely natural level. We also move onto this ground when we refuse to respond to what the word is teaching us, for then we harden ourselves towards it and effectively place ourselves beside the way. Here in the act of resisting, we give ground for all manner of rationalizations to excuse our behavior and to excuse us from moving as we know we should in obedience to the Lord's word. These rationalizations are what the Lord attributes here to the activity of the birds of the air, which he describes as Satan. The word Satan means adversary, and speaks to that which refuses to comply with what the word teaches. From the wayside, we move to that ground that is called rocky. From this point, we see that with each type of ground, there is some level of reception. Of the rocky place, we read, "Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away." And the Lord, in interpreting this portion of the parable, said, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." Here is described the state of mind able to receive something of the word. Where that state of being beside the wayside offered no penetration of the word, this state offers a little penetration. This is a surface or external spiritual life. It describes a state of seeking spiritual things where the focus is on the externals. In fact, the Greek word for describing this state says just that. The Greek word petrades, translated rocky places, comes from two Greek words. The first word is petra, which means rock. It also forms the basis for the name Peter, which also means rock. And the word eidos, which means the outward or external appearance, the form or the figure. From a root meaning to perceive with the eyes. You can see how descriptive this word is and how well it can be applied in the description of the spiritual state referred to here. Rocks or stones in Scripture correspond to facts, ideas and concepts or things to do with the understanding. The fact that perception and the eyes are embedded in the meaning of this word supports this idea that it has to do with the understanding. So what this state describes are those who are into seeking and exploring interesting concepts or ideas, but they are not so interested in seeking to live a life in accordance with them. Remember, this ground is a shallow level of earth above rock. So on the surface, it looks good. It looks like goodness, but goodness, of course, is doing the word. And this state is not yet there. It's only interested in the exciting things it can draw from the word in terms of ideas and concepts. Or searching through spiritual traditions and drawing out ideas that seem to suit us. That's what this level is talking about. This state is described as one of receiving the word with delight as new ideas and connections are entertained. And this causes a lifting of the understanding into the light of heaven as spiritual things become evident there. But if the will for goodness is lacking, and those in this state do not seek to apply spiritual principles and governance of our internal states of life, of attending to the quality of our thoughts and affections, then such insights are eventually lost. If we will not seek to have our motives purified, then these motives will, like the sun in this illustration, scorch and destroy what little remains in this external spirituality. A person's understanding can be lifted to see higher things in the Word, but without obedience, it will always eventually return to the level of life the will is in. This is described in the following quote, which is on your service sheet from the work True Christian Religion. Reading paragraph 602. It needs to be known that a person as regards his understanding can be raised almost into the light enjoyed by the angels of heaven. But if he does not also rise as regards his will, he is still the old person, not a new one. I showed earlier how the understanding raises the will to an even higher level to match itself. Regeneration, therefore, is primarily a matter of the will, secondarily of the understanding. For a person's understanding resembles light in the world, his will heat there. It is well known that light without heat does not make things live and grow, but only light combined with heat. In respect of the lower region of the mind, the understanding really is enlightened by the light of the world, but in respect to the upper region, by the light of heaven. Therefore, unless the will is raised from the lower region to the upper and is there linked to the understanding, it remains in the world. Then the understanding swoops up and down, but every night seeks down to the will and rests there. These facts, too, make it plain that unless a person acquires a new will and a new understanding, he has not been regenerated. This well describes the stony ground state of life. We now come to that ground characterized by the thorns that throttle the development of what is good. Of this stage we read, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." The Lord's interpretation reads, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The thing about this stage of growth is that the soil is deep enough to sustain good growth, but there are things in it that compete with the development of the spiritual life. The thorns are described as becoming elevated, or in the Greek of upstepping, and dominating a person's life to the point that any potential for fruitfulness is lost. Where the stony place has had to do with the understanding, this level of spiritual development describes a struggle in the area of the will or the affections we hold. It is really about competing affections or desires. Higher and lower affections competing for the nutrients in that soil. The thorns of this level of spiritual life are described as being the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. That is, other things, all things other than heavenly things. We are all subject to many affections that would seek to lure us away from being in the effort to live the heavenly life. The cares of this world or this age, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things are the loves and concerns of the external man. Those things that need to be brought into subjection to the heavenly loves of the internal man if a person is to live the spiritual life. The reason we are given truth is to purify our motives. That is its use. By means of truth, we are able to reflect on what passes through our being and judge it accordingly. Where these lower things take priority in our hearts and minds, so we will be unable to see how we should love the Lord and our neighbour. Thus the word is choked, its life is choked out in us, and our potential fruitfulness lost. Finally, we come to the good ground, and of this we read, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. To this the Lord gave the following interpretation. "But these are the ones sown on the good ground, those who hear the word, receive, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Regeneration is the end of the spiritual life. That is what it looks to. Where each of the other states are said to hear the word, this state speaks of not only hearing, but of receiving and bearing. Of taking the word to oneself as one's own, and being in the effort to live according to what it teaches. The good ground is a will that loves the word for its own sake, that seeks to live according to it because it is the right thing to do. Each of the previous states are states pertaining to a person's reformation, but here in this final state, regeneration has come, and along with it, an abundance of goodness in the life. This is the fulfillment of living a life of heaven here on earth. We need to be aware that we can have a mixed response to the word as it enters our life, but as long as we remain in the effort to do what we understand the word to be teaching us, we will eventually bear the heavenly characteristics of love and charity. Amen.